The following is a message from Pastor Ray Bentley of Maranatha Chapel in San Diego, California. This presentation is dedicated to bringing you into deeper fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians. And on Wednesday nights, we're doing a study in the Holy Spirit. And for those of you that cannot come, you can go in to the bookstore, you can get the tape. This last Wednesday night, we talked about the single gift of the Word of Wisdom. It's a fascinating study. This coming Wednesday, we're going to talk about the gift called the Word of Knowledge. What is that, and how do we apply it to our lives? So, you can either get the tape, you can go online and listen at your convenience. Or you can come in person Wednesday night. Phil Wickham is going to be leading us in worship. Well, let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, we just come before you and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, lead and guide us into the truth, and that knowing the truth, we would be set free as never before. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray and ask all of these things. And everyone said, Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21. And this is one of Paul's prayers. You want to learn how to pray? Let me encourage you. Let's say you're in your devotions, reading through the book of Ephesians, and you come across Paul's prayer in chapter 3, which is verse 14 through 21. Rather than just reading it, pray it. Personalize it. Pray it for yourself. And so that's what we're going to talk about is, and that's the title of the message, What to Pray For. Paul says, in this prayer, and I've tried to simplify it because it's so rich, and I'm going to try to explain and unfold as much as I can to you in this prayer. But I've boiled it down to three things. Paul says, pray for strength, pray for love, and pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, before we even get into this prayer of Paul, I think it's important to remind you, for those who maybe we weren't here at the beginning of our study in Ephesians, where Paul is when he writes this letter, and where this prayer came from. Paul is in prison. So this prayer is born out of circumstances that are rotten, horrible. And the reason I mention that, and the reason I think that's important, is that I believe there may be some of you who are here in church this morning and who are saying, you know what, I'm in lousy circumstances myself. And in particular, circumstances where it's beyond your control. Maybe your boss has put you in a place you don't like. Another way of describing it is you feel trapped. You're in a situation, and whenever we're in a situation that we have no control over or we can't escape from, it builds up tremendous either anxiety, fear, frustration, fill in the blank. So for those of you that are maybe in that place now or have been in that place or, you know, being in the world as we know it, probably will be again, take that to heart as you listen to what Paul prays for. He says, beginning in verse 14, the first thing that he says is to pray for inner strength. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Paul says a lot here. But basically what he is praying for, and he's not even praying for himself, he's praying for others. And he says, the first thing on my list for you is I pray for inner strength. Pray for inner strength. Would you say that out loud with me? Pray for inner strength. And I think it's in the prison prayers of Paul, worth noting that, for the most part, they deal with the spiritual condition of the inner man, not with the material needs of the body. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the needs of the body or to pray for our physical needs or to pray for material things. But it's more important to pray for what and who we are on the inside. I think it's, you know, Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's fine. And we pray about a lot of our outward circumstances, our job, how much money, if we have enough to pay our bills. And we're concerned with our health and a lot of things that affect us daily. And so we bring those to the Lord. That's all right. But here's where it's not all right. If that's all we pray for, is the things that are outside and on the outside of our world, here's what can happen to you. You can actually end up, as a believing child of God, get more and more frustrated the more you walk with the Lord. Because your faith and your hope is always, you pray for a particular area, you pray through, God begins to deliver an answer in this particular area, and just as soon as one area smooths out a little bit, there's another area that pops up on the outside. So you focus your attention over here. And as soon as you begin to pray through and smooth that one, another one pops up over here. How many have ever felt like that? It's like that little game, you know, Noah's got, you bop this one and the other one pops up and you bop him and another one comes up. So my point is, it's not wrong to pray for these things, but realize, I think that without consciously saying it, we get frustrated because we want everything to be smooth at least for a little while at one time. And what I think we discover is, it never is smooth all the way around outwardly in our circumstances. And so, if I'm never going to have everything the way that I'd like it to be on the outside, then it behooves us to move on the inside, because that's the one area that no one can control but the Lord and you. And as a matter of fact, what Paul is saying to us is that even when your outward circumstances are the worst, miserable, he's in prison. Doesn't get much worse than that. He's being beat up, not for being a criminal or for crimes, but for preaching the gospel, for laying hands on people and healing them, for telling them that Jesus is the revelation of the love of God. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Okay, accept it, don't accept it, agree with it, don't agree with it, but they went beyond that, persecuting this guy, throwing him in prison. Not fair. But Paul is saying to us, hey, pray for inner strength. Because when you are strengthened in the inner man, or on the inside spiritually, your inner woman, that you are now in a place where you can overcome your circumstances. That's why Paul and Silas, when he was, they were beaten up and they're in prison and they're down in this hole, and at midnight, they sang. How can you sing at midnight when you've been beat up like that? And really, not just singing, mouthing the words, because I'm supposed to be joyful, but what if you were pain, full of pain, cuts, bruises, beaten on the outside, and yet what you were feeling and experiencing on the inside was so much more real, so much more powerful, tangible love, this overcoming sensation of life and joy and victory. That, now you've got it. That's Christianity. That's what it's all about. So Paul says, pray for inner strength. I think too often our prayers focus only on the physical or material needs and ignore the deeper inner needs of the heart. And we need inner strength because we do have an enemy. Satan is a powerful enemy. And while it is true that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, it is equally true that Satan hates your guts and he has a horrible plan for your life. And I have found that I do not have the strength within myself alone to stand against him. I need God's strength. And by his spirit in my inner man, if I am to resist the enemy. So, Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the position here of Paul in bowing his knees was not the typical position of prayer. Most of the time, the Jewish people, they would pray standing. Even as they do now, if you see them at the Western Wall, they're standing next to the wall, and you know, the Orthodox Jews are kind of throwing themselves and praying, but they're standing. Very rarely do you see them on their knees. Why? Because to be on your knees was only at a time when you were extremely emotionally in need or upset. Because in the Hebrew world, the emotions come from your gut, and when you're really when you really need something or when you're really desperate, it's not, you know, the fluttery light feelings up here, but really you feel it down in your gut. Your stomach's all tied up in knots. And so sometimes our posture can follow what we're feeling. And Paul is saying, I feel deeply about this. I feel passionately about this. I've been strengthened, and I am on my knees before the Father in heaven. And I am praying for you that you would be strengthened in the inner man. Oh, how I want you to be like me. And I think what Paul is saying between the lines is, I am experiencing more joy, more love, more peace, more freedom in jail, beat up, than some of my brothers and sisters who are free and walking around and yet all tied up on the inside. So I pray for you. I love you. I pray strength for you according to his riches. Now, it's a little phrase, and a subtle little change could be out of his riches. But Paul doesn't say out of his riches. He says according to his riches. There's a big difference. Let me illustrate. Now, let's just take me for a minute and pretend, and this will stretch your imagination, but pretend that I, Ray Bentley, am Ray Bentley billionaire. Can you imagine that? Ray Bentley billionaire. Now, let's just say that I decided that I feel a little generous today, and so being Ray Bentley billionaire, which I think has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And I say, okay, as we leave this morning, it's going to take a little time. I'd like you to be patient, but I'd like to shake each one of your hands, and I'd like to give you, out of my riches, $10 apiece. How many of you would wait in line for the $10? Oh, great. All right. That's not in my notes. Okay, now. However, let's say that I, Ray Bentley billionaire, say to you, you know what, I feel really generous today. I want to give to you, and by the way, when I do this, I won't even feel it. I want to give you to you personally, individually, every single one of you, according to my riches, and therefore I'd like for you to be patient, stand in line. I've got $1,000,000 for every one of you, man, woman, and child. How many would stand in line for that? Oh, you guys, you kill me, you slay me. Well, that's what Paul is meaning when he says God wants to give to you not out of, but according to his glory. What do we need? I mean, I think it's a common human experience. We feel weak. We're on the defensive, and there are so many circumstances beyond our control. We do the best that we can. We can't control the weather. We can't always, doing the best we can, control our own health. And so no wonder we're full of anxieties and fears and worries. And so we feel that weakness. We need strength. And we need it on the inside. The outer man, the Bible says, is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And it is this inner strength that makes you successful. Not the outward, but the inward strength. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's read this scripture out loud together. It's in your notes. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now, I like that. It's amazing that we are being renewed day by day. Now, what am I... Well, you know, as we think about the focus on the outward and the inward, one of the things I thought about, how many of you have seen that show, Extreme Makeover? Have you seen that? Where they take a family that's very poor and then they have tremendous needs, and the community comes together and all these people, and they build this house. And there's the one guy that I like the most is, I think his name is Ty. He's this tall, skinny guy, and his hair sticks up in the front, and he kind of looks like my son Daniel. But anyway, and I love it. He walks around with a bullhorn. We've only got 24 hours. The people, they're going to be here, you know. And so we've got to come on, people, and they're all rallying and doing however they do it. And then finally, at the very end, and he's always walking around with a megaphone. I think that's cool, walk around with a megaphone. And then he says, okay, move that bus, woo! And they move the bus, and people, ah! You know, and they're falling down, and they're crying. And It's amazing. As they go through, every room is beyond anything they could ever dream or imagine. And I think that's great. And it makes you feel good. And I think it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. And we were able to do that same Extreme Makeover down at St. Stephen's. Then there's another show called Extreme Makeover, only this is about, you know, fixing people with their eyes or hair or their teeth and all of that. And I think that's, okay in some ways, but sometimes I think it brings too much attention on the outward. I'm just saying, it just seems maybe sometimes they go a little bit too far. Now, I'll never forget this one time, and... a mother and a son. I don't know. They had this deal where, you know, their eyes were droopy or something. They wanted to take, okay, so they're going to take it away. And so then they're on and they're showing. But at the end, they were both like this. And they're talking about how cool it was. And I was just looking going, is it me or do they look weird? They look surprised all the time. You know, it's just, but anyway. Let's just say that our culture, while there can be good to the outward, we can become obsessed with it. It can go to a vast extreme that it doesn't need to go. So pray for inner strength. Let's at least say that Paul is right, that we need to focus on strengthening the inner man. Now, secondly, in verses 17 through 19, Paul says, pray for a lifestyle of love. Would you say that out loud with me? Pray for a lifestyle of love. Paul says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I like how verse 17, at least in my version, I have the New King James, it starts with the word that, meaning that his first prayer, I pray that you will be strengthened in the inner man. You need to be strengthened by the might of God on the inside. Your spirit needs to be strengthened. So that, in other words, this is like a telescope promise or prayer that goes deeper, one building on the next. The reason that you need to be strengthened on the inside is for the goal. And the goal is that you would be rooted and grounded in love. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to be rooted and grounded in love. It's more than just agreeing intellectually to a certain, these are our beliefs. It is a reality. It is a substance. It is an experience. And that is the love of God, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Now, it has been said that man is loving. That can be true. Or you can say a man loves, or a man loves his wife, or a wife loves her husband. But here's what you cannot say. You cannot say man is love. And it was Martin Luther King who said, only God and love can be joined by the word is. And that's what the Bible declares. God is love. Now, we have the privilege of being born into his family, becoming his children, adopting his very nature, having the seed of the word in our hearts, and then growing up in the love of Christ. But that's what it's all about. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The word dwell there means to make a home. Jesus wants to be at home in your heart. It means, the word dwell means to settle down and feel at home. It's not just that when, we say Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my knock and my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Okay, now I've accepted Christ into my life and I'm saved. But what does it mean to be saved? What it means is when Jesus comes in, he wants to make your life, your inner life, his home. Now, if Jesus makes his home in you, would you not agree that when you go to your home, what's in your home is yours, if it's your home? Jesus wants you and your heart and your inner world to be his home. That means he wants access to all of your dreams, all of your desires, all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, and on the negative side, access to all of your fears, all of your concerns, all of your worries. He wants that all to be at his disposal and his own, because he wants to heal you of all the negative things and comfort you and take away your fears, and he wants to bless you with even more on the inside, with all the blessings that he has for you, but he wants to make his home in you. Now, there's a classic illustration of this in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham. Abraham's life gives a perfect illustration. God was on his way to bless Abraham with a son. And so Genesis tells us that the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, along with two angels, came to Abraham's house, which happened to be a tent. And then he entered into Abraham's home. And what happened? Then Sarah comes out and she fixes a meal. And they share a meal together in the home, a very humble home, of Abraham. That is the picture of what Jesus desires. He wants to be able to sit down, and you know, there is something very special and even more in Middle Eastern culture or those other parts of the world than the West where I'm from. Eating together is more than just the enjoyment of food. The reason that eating together is so special, and in fact, you have the seven feasts of the Lord. They're called holy days, and they are feasts, and they all revolve around eating. Why? Because God knew that there it's a picture. Everything has meaning. Everything is like a window through which we can see spiritual truth. When we eat, it feeds us, it nourishes us, and as your body is eating the food that it needs and delighting in its smells and its tastes and its texture and all the rest, it has a sense of relaxing us. We let our walls down. We start laughing. We start telling stories. And maybe when your family gathers around the table, there are certain stories that they always tell. Do you remember the time when? And so these stories come together. And it's a time of just tremendous community and love. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him." I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to meet your needs so that you realize you have someone who loves you, cares for you. You have a shepherd who's going to protect you. He's going to lead you to green pastures. He's going to work everything out, every circumstance, be involved in every detail, bless you, take you to heaven, and even use the negative things in a fallen world to disciple you and to grow you up and to prepare you for an eternity of sharing as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so when you hear all of that and you begin to experience it, you relax and you begin to listen. And now all of a sudden you pay more close attention to what the Lord says to you around the table. And his words go deep in your heart and you begin to grow in that truth. And it becomes an exchange of just blessing the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and him making promises to us. And so the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, that's what it means. It's like a meal, a spiritual meal, and where your mind and your thoughts and your heart become his home. Well, it's interesting, the story goes on. These three guests have other business. They had another task. They were on their way to investigate the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in their investigation, to determine whether or not God's judgment was indeed to fall. However, the problem was that there was one of God's children for sure there. His name was Lot. And God wanted to warn Lot and, in fact, deliver Lot before any judgment came. And so it's interesting, as you read the story, that when they came to Lot's house, the angels came to Lot's house, but the Lord himself did not come to his house. Now, it makes no comment on that. I just think it's interesting that there can apparently be degrees of intimacy with the Lord, where some actually have him come and are welcome in their home. and others where the Lord is maybe not in that same degree of intimacy. Paul says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Rooted and grounded in love. Like trees, our lives need to send down roots that are deep and wide in the soil of God's love. And like buildings, they need to be grounded on a solid foundation. And the foundation of Christian living is love. One of the reasons heaven's going to be heaven is that there's nothing unloving that will be there. Everything in heaven will be loving. When we first came here and we were looking at, you know, this place, I remember that 7.5 years ago there was no building here. So I went from that corner to that corner over there, and I would just walk it on the dirt. Then I went from this corner and I walked to that corner, and, you know, and then I walked from the back to the front and tried to just see, you know, what this place is going to be like. And they were digging all the foundations, and it seemed to take forever and nothing was happening. And finally I said to Ron Harper, I said, what are they doing? I don't see anything. And he goes, they're doing the foundation. It's very important. The foundation is being laid. You're going to see the walls go up in a fast way. Just wait till the foundation is laid. I came one day, all these walls are tilt up all the way around, and they went up in a single day. In a single day. It was like a church that came up overnight. But I am glad now, especially in Southern California where we have earthquakes, that we have a solid foundation beneath us. So if we do have an earthquake, the roof's not going to fall on our heads. How many are glad that we've got a good, solid foundation? The foundation that you and I have is the love of God. God's love, described and defined in His way. Now in Galatians 5:22, it describes the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love that. The fruit of the Spirit. And I put into your notes what Donald Gray Barnhouse said. And I put this quote in your notes. You see where it says love is the key? I want you to read this. Let's read this paragraph out loud together, shall we? Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. There are no fruits of the Spirit without love. As you grow in love, here's what is possible, and I believe this with all of my heart. What Paul is saying is that as we grow older in this life, we're outwardly perishing. Now, there's a part of us, very naturally, that panics and tries to slow the process and be as healthy as we can, and that's all fine and good. But if we turn our hearts inwardly and say, Lord, I know that outwardly I'm perishing, but inwardly I'd like to be renewed day by day. Strengthen me on the inside. I want to grow in love. I want to be more loving tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more of a loving person when I am 60 than I am now. I want to be even more loving when I am 70. I want to be even more filled with your love when I'm 80. I want to even be more loving the very day that I go to be with you. And I know there have been some of the most beautiful men and women I've ever known who have walked with God for many, many years. And there's no such thing as a person that's not beautiful who has the light and the love of God reflected in their face. You see it in their eyes. You see it on their countenance. And you can be that man. You can be that woman that God intended for you to be. So the four dimensions of love. He says, so that with all the saints we can comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the height. A love wide enough to embrace the whole world. Love long enough to last forever. Love high enough to take us to heaven for eternity. and love deep enough to reach into the depths and reach the lowest sinner. You know what that really is spelling out? The cross. Again, Martin Luther King said, the cross is God's photograph. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe and trust in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God is seen in the cross of Jesus Christ. How deeply and how passionately he loves us. And then he says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. How can we know this kind of love if it passes knowledge? You cannot know what is beyond knowledge. But you can experience it. And I'm sure that you have had feelings so deep at certain times in your life that you couldn't put words to them. Whatever knowledge that you have, there are no words. Those are the best emotions. There are no words. And that's what Paul is saying. He is saying when you know the love of God, it will bypass your ability to explain, to articulate, to even put into language. It surpasses knowledge. But just because it surpasses knowledge doesn't mean you can't experience it. And in fact, that is God's very desire. And then finally, the third thing he said to pray for is pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Would you say that out loud with me? Pray to be filled with the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, read with me Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's read that out loud. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Now we can understand that. Okay, yes, Jesus was filled with all the fullness of God. In him all the Godhead dwelt bodily. Okay, that's Jesus. But now he's talking about you. And that's why Paul is about to run out of words. He's saying, here's my prayer, guys, is that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. God is love. You are going to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, it's going to take eternity for God to fill you. In one sense, he'll never completely fill us up because he's endless. But you can go out and get a cup full of the fullness of the ocean. And yet the ocean is still there. God is going to start filling you and filling me with all of the fullness of his presence, of his love, of his spirit. We will be like Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just the coolest thing in the world. Imagine everybody in here, let's say, boom, like that, we're all in heaven together. You have, first of all, you have brand new bodies. Okay, so let's deal with reality. When we get to heaven, we get a brand new body. How many are excited about that? Okay, you ready to trade this one in? Me too. You get a brand new body. And whereas this body is weak, it can be tempted by certain things, your new body is made of heaven. It's not tempted by anything except to walk with God and to walk in love. And secondly, the devil, he is done. God has dealt with him, he's judged, he's not around anymore. There's nothing but love, pure love. Everything is perfect. There's no pollution. There's no, you know, armies. There's no sickness. There's no death. And you, here's the amazing thing, you will be sinless. Because you're going to be in heaven. You will have become like Christ. And we will still be growing with him and knowing him. But imagine all these people around you. If everybody here lived like Jesus, walked like Jesus, wouldn't this be an amazing place? If everybody loved each other so much that they were willing to lay down their lives to bless one another, and just heaven pours from your mouth, and the power of God flows through your fingertips, and the joy of the Lord is in your heart, the love of God is upon your face, I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. We will be filled with all the fullness of God. Is even that possible? Paul tells us in verse 20, now to him who is able, God is able, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God can do it. God is able. We have a tendency when we talk about limitations where, you know, we'll say that, that's easy. That's no problem. You know, that's a piece of cake. And other things we go, that's kind of tough. On the other hand, that's impossible. And that's the way we relate to things. We sometimes bring our limitations to God. Dear God, I'm praying for my friend here. He has a headache. Please heal him of the headache. No problem. No big deal. You know, that's a piece of cake for you, Lord. Heal him of the headache. And by the way, if the headache doesn't go away, take a couple of aspirin. It's no problem. But then somebody has cancer, they have leukemia or something. Oh, man, tough. This is going to be tough. I don't know. And we bring our limitations to God. Lord, I'm praying. I don't know what's going to happen. But with God, there's no degree of toughness or difficulty. God is all-powerful all the time. And God can do whatever he desires, and his desires are nothing but good. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. And would you pray this prayer with me as we personalize this message and pray it out loud after this manner? Dear Lord, I need Jesus. I want you to be at home in my heart. And I need to be strengthened inside. Spiritually strengthened. So that I can be rooted in love. Let the foundation of my life be love. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me be a vessel of your love for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this presentation from Pastor Ray Bentley. For a catalog of additional tapes and other resources from In the Word Ministries, please call 1-800-954-5673. You can also visit us on the web at www.maranathachapel.org. Or when in San Diego, come by and fellowship with us. Please call the church office for service times and directions. Area code 858-613-7800. Thank you for listening to In the Word with Pastor Ray Bentley.